Welcome to Reset, 40 is the New Happy. It's a podcast that introduces you to people who leave full-time jobs and steady paychecks to find happiness in another line of work. Usually, it's their own business. It's risky and often means a pay cut, but the rewards are priceless. Today, I'm with published poet, freelance voiceover artist, and full-time dad, Matt Forrest Essenwine of Warner. His poem, First Tooth, is included in a new collection called Lullaby and Kisses Sweet, Poems to Love with Your Baby. Matt, joining me right now, you're also the voice I'm going to hear at the Hopkinton State Fair coming up soon, but you are also a country dance instructor?
I haven't done any of that for a while. You know, some of the line dances that were coming out were just ridiculous. I really liked teaching dance, and some of the line dances back in the 90s, you know, were fun, but I really liked partner dancing, two-step, swing dances, like East Coast Swing, which is like the Jitterbug, you know, a whole lot of fun. And boy, when they started coming out with things like the Macarena, I said, I'm hanging it up. I am not going to teach the Macarena. I'm not going to teach, you know, some of these. I don't want to call them stupid, but they're stupid. I mean, just, I'm sorry. I'm a grown man. I don't do the Macarena.
Well, maybe if we have time, we'll have you walk us through a Paso Doble at the
end. Okay, absolutely.
All right, so how many years were you a radio personality? And much of it, I think, was full-time.
Oh, yes. Over 25 years. It was like 26, 27 years, something like that, when I was in radio.
All right, so I mentioned that you are a freelance voiceover artist. Did you begin doing that to supplement what are typically low wages for radio announcers in New Hampshire?
very typical. You've heard about those wages, have you? I did it because I really enjoyed doing it. I actually got into radio because it was radio drama and theater of the mind and that sort of thing. Acting was something I was always interested in. I was listening to my father's he had records of some of the old-time radio shows like Lux Radio Theater and The Shadow and Fibber McGee and Molly and things like that. He was, even though he wasn't in radio or in advertising or anything, my father was a huge fan of Stan Freberg. And anyone who doesn't know anything about advertising or anything, do a search on Stan Freberg. He was just a master of humor. He was a satirist. He actually started up an advertising agency. And I mean, I was 10, 11, 12 when I was listening to some of these things. And I just was really amazed that people could have, you know, Stan did an interview with the Abominable Snowman one time. It was hilarious. Weird Al Yankovic has admitted that he wouldn't be doing what he does if it wasn't for Stan Freberg with some of his song parodies. So, you know, when I got out of high school, I was a valedictorian of the school, and people are looking at me going, "Are you going into radio?" I said, well, that's what I wanted. It just seemed like fun. That's kind of what I want to do. I liked music. I liked acting. And being able to write scripts and perform scripts and act was, it suited me. It still does.
All right. So if Stan Freberg encouraged you or inspired you to do radio, who inspired you to write children's poetry, which I think is now your career path?
It is. The poetry and children's writing in general, because I've written a lot of manuscripts that I'm pitching. I have my first full-length picture book coming out in a couple of years. But initially, I would say, and I'll tell you, I didn't figure this out until just a few months ago. I've enjoyed writing. I've been writing poetry since college, since high school, really. I had my first published poem back when I was still in high school. I've had adult poems published in independent collections all over the country, you know, here and there for years. But it was only about 5 years ago that I decided to get serious about doing something for children. And I knew kind of the kind of style that I write, you know, the everybody has kind of their own voice. And I guess I probably have several different voices that I use when I'm writing children's poetry. But it didn't occur to me until a couple of months ago when my wife gave me a copy of a book that I had as a kid. When I was 6 or 7 years old, my parents gave me a little paperback poetry collection. And she found it and gave me a copy. And it was, I think it was, I can't even remember the name of it. I know who wrote it. It was, I think it was called The Secret Garden and Other Stories. But it was by a woman named Dorothy Aldiss, who's just a marvelous children's poet who wrote tons of children's poetry back in the 60s and 70s. And so I have to credit Dorothy Aldiss, who most people would never have heard of. You know, they're thinking, you know, Shel Silverstein or Myra Cohn Livingstone or someone, but Dorothy Aldous is probably the one who got me started when I was 6 or 7 years old with an appreciation for poetry.
All right, so you made the decision to leave your radio job and a dependable paycheck behind to be your own boss. What was the feeling like when you came to that decision? Exhilarating, scary, somewhere in between?
Oh, yeah, all of the above. You can name off 5 or 10 other words. Yeah, it's all of the above. But the thing, you know, it was scary because, you know, as you said, you're leaving the full-time paycheck. But in a way, it wasn't really scary because I really wasn't leaving a full-time paycheck because it just didn't make sense for me to continue working. Where I was working, I was going through so much money for the privilege of working that it just didn't make sense. You know, and I wonder if enough people actually take time to actually look at the numbers and crunch the numbers. I was spending $400 a month just to commute, not weekend driving or anything like that. Just commuting driving was $400 a month. It was $650 a month for my 2-year-old for daycare. Okay, just those two bills was an entire paycheck. That was take home pay, an entire half a month's pay, take home pay, $1,050, $1,100. That was, and I thought, okay, well, this is kind of serious. And we knew that we were going to probably have another one coming along. And as a baby, she was going to be a lot more than just $650 a month. So I looked at my wife. I said, okay, let's look at these bills. I said, if we could take care of a couple of these bills here, I could stay at home, be a stay-at-home dad, work out of the house. I could, you know, develop the voiceover business, but also develop my children's writing, which I'd been wanting to do. And I said, if I make a minimum of $500 a month, we break even. So I mean, why wouldn't somebody do that? You know, really, if you can stay at home and still be bringing in even a little bit, and it still averages out to what you were making, and I don't have to get up at 6 to get to make sure the kids' snacks are packed and they're off to the daycare, and I got to get to the daycare, and I got to get back to work on time, and then I got to leave work. Oh my gosh, it's 5:05, and I got to leave work because I got to get to the daycare because they closed at 5:30, and oh my gosh, I got to pick the kid. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You got yourself worked up just telling the story.
I know, but that's the thing, you know. I mean, yeah. if people think about it, you know, all the work and the stress that goes into getting your kids to daycare, is it really worth it? I mean, and some people, it's worth it, and some people need it. But, you know, I think it's worth it for folks to stop and just take a look at the numbers and see what you're actually doing.
Tell me about the conversation you had with another radio station manager who tried to talk you back into coming to radio once again after you'd been out.
Well, I talked to someone earlier this year, and they had suggested, you know, they asked me if I had any interest in being a production director, as I had been previously. For the last 10 years, I'd overseen commercial production, which is I was writing a lot of the scripts, I was voicing them. I wasn't producing everything that you heard on the radio, but my hand touched every commercial that you heard on 5 or 6 radio stations. And so I asked them, you know, well, you know, what is the pay? And they said, it's pretty much, you know, what it was when you left. I said, well, okay, well, what I left 2 years ago, and I hadn't had a raise since, I think, 7 or 8 years before that. So I said, you're telling me that that what I was making in 2006, it's still what I'd be making now? Yeah, that's pretty much what the budget is. So, sorry. I mean, I like the job. I like the people. I miss, you know, not being around the people that I was working with, and I enjoyed the job and the work. But I can't justify it. I'd be taking a pay cut at this point.
All right, so you're at home, and you're able to do in studio at your home voiceover work for, you know, phone answering services and places all over the globe. How do you do that with a 2- and 5-year-old and all the sounds that kids make during the day?
You do it when they're napping.
Oh.
Really? I mean, that's all you can do. I do it when the kids are napping. And my son, he's 5. He doesn't nap anymore. So I do it at night. I mean, the voice work, it has to take a backseat to the parenting. And so I can get some of my emails checked. I can do some work that doesn't require me to record. Because he can play by himself while the 2-year-old is napping, so I can get some of my work done. But recording, I don't usually record until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night.
All right. So writing poetry for you, is it the ultimate satisfaction in creative expression?
Yes and no. I mean, I really enjoy writing poetry, and I enjoy writing a lot of things. I've written a number of short stories. I really like writing radio commercials. People may think that that's kind of strange, but the basic process is the same for short stories, and I've written about this on my blog at times. The process is the same, whether it's a radio commercial, whether it's a poem, whether it's a short story, or it's a novel. You want to accomplish the same things. A good radio commercial does the same thing that a good novel does. It draws you in. That first sentence, first couple of sentences, has to capture the attention, has to draw you in, and want you to either continue listening to the radio commercial or continue reading the story or the novel. It has to engage you. It has to have some sort of emotional connection, and I don't mean necessarily like, oh my gosh, you know, you're like suddenly stricken with emotion, but it has to be, it has to touch you in some way. Maybe it's a sense of happiness, maybe it's a fear of loss, or whatever it is. It has to connect with the person who's listening or reading, and it presents a problem, hopefully it presents a solution, and at the end of the commercial or in the novel, you feel satisfied in some way. Same thing with poetry. I mean, radio commercials are 30 or 60 seconds. They are tightly compacted, and you've got to make every word count. And the same thing with poetry. You have to make every word count. And I think that's why I like picture books as well, because here again, whether they rhyme or not, word economy is reigns supreme. Every word has to count. You can't have anything extraneous. You need to make sure that the child is going to be engaged, and that poor parent or guardian or whoever is reading to them, it's got to be enjoyable enough for them so that by the time they get around to the 500th reading, like we do with Chicka Chicka Boom Boom at the house, boy. Chicka chicka boom boom, will there be enough room? Oh my gosh. Just let them get the alphabet. They fell out of the tree. Can we end the story now? And I like the book, but you know, it's just, but my 2-year-old, we have to read it every single night. My 5-year-old had to read it every single night. So, you know, it's got to hold up to multiple readings. And just like a radio commercial has to hold up to multiple listenings, and both of them have to be satisfying to the listener or the reader.
All right, so we would agree that more money would be nice, but if I read you correctly, happiness trumps material things.
Yeah, I think that's why you and I were in programming. We weren't in sales, right? I mean, seriously, that's not a slam against the salespeople. Salespeople are a different ilk. They are. Mike and I, we were on the air. I like making money. I enjoy the paycheck, but you know, there's something more about the creativity, about the conversation that you have, about learning things, reading the paper, and you know, checking out your show prep to see what you're going to be talking about that morning. Talking to the other folks who are there at the station about what's going on, and doing promotions and live broadcasts and things like that. It's much more creative and enjoyable. You know, sometimes I kind of wish that money made me more happy. You know, sometimes, every now, you know, and those of us in radio and any kind of the creative arts, you know, there are times when you think, damn it, I wish I was more materialistic. Why can't I be more materialistic? But I'm not, and I'm happy that way. If I was motivated by money, I would probably still be in radio or TV, and I'd be selling. But that's not for me. That's for my other friends.
Instead, you're in a bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire, talking to me in the children's section.
Yes, how appropriate in the children's section. And there's one book here that I'm included in, the Lullaby and Kisses Sweet collection. And hopefully another couple of months from when we're recording this in October, I'll be included in another book. I'm a contributor to the National Geographic Book of Nature Poetry. So little by little, more of these books are going to have my name on them.
Final question. There's a lot of people out there listening right now, kind of like you were, deciding whether or not to leave the full-time job. Any useful advice for them before they make the leap, as you did?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. One, if you're going to leave a full-time job, make sure you know what you're leaving to go to. Make sure you've got a plan. I mean, I didn't just decide, okay, I'm going to start voiceover work. I had been doing voiceover work on the side for 6 or 7 years before I got into this. I had contacts. I kind of knew what I was doing. I honed the skill in radio, but most people, most production houses and clients who are hiring for voiceover, they don't like hiring radio people because they assume radio people talk like this. Hi, Harry. How you doing? I'm doing pretty good. I mean, nobody talks like that, but am I right? That's how radio people
talk. You're absolutely correct, Matt.
We young enough, folks. That's what we do. So, you know, when they want a conversational kind of delivery, it takes some time to learn what you're doing. So figure out what you want to do. Make sure you're set up. I've got a studio set up at the house. I knew what I was going to do. And plan to stick it out, too. It's not just, you know, you can't just jump from one day to another day and now you're off and rolling. It may take a year or two to get yourself settled.
He is Matt Essenwine, Matt Forrest Essenwine of Warner. On Reset, 40 is the New Happy. Look for his first all-him book, as opposed to being a part in a collection of things. And his debut picture book comes out in 2017 called Flashlight Night. So we'll conclude now. Matt's going to give me a rumba lesson, and we're going to kind of just waltz out of the store. One, two,
yes,
three.
Oh, you have very delicate hands there. What do you use? You some sort of cream. Is that oil of Olay?